How long can the longest recovery go on? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. In just a couple hours, we'll get the Labor Department's jobs report for January. The numbers will probably be pretty good. They were all right last month. The economy added 150,000 jobs. First-time unemployment claims are at a 45-year low. The unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%. That's the lowest it's been since 2000. You may have heard President Trump mention that in his State of the Union. But the economy has been improving for years now, so you kind of ask, how long can that pace keep going? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look.
Job creation has declined every year since a post-recession peak of 250,000 a month in 2014. The pace fell to 170,000 a month last year. And Jed Kalko at jobsiteindeed.com predicts job creation will slow even more over the next couple years. He says with unemployment so low, employers are having a harder time finding available workers. Baby boomers are retiring, plus
population is growing more slowly today than in the past. It might grow even more slowly than we expect if immigration slows down.
Mike Bale at U.S. Bank Wealth Management says employers do have some options for finding workers and keeping up with demand in this tight labor market. Raise wages, invest in labor-saving technology, or
just have your current workforce work a little bit more.
And the Labor Department predicts some job categories will grow strongly in the next decade, including education and healthcare, construction, and work in the oil and gas fields. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.7% range, with the Dow future down 224 points. 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.79%. And the price of a barrel of oil rose 30% in the past 6 months, which is great for Exxon and Chevron, both of which report quarterly earnings this morning. But while it may be a good day today, these companies have one eye on the future. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
After years of getting hammered by falling prices, the oil industry is back. Producers are more efficient and production and prices are climbing. But Jeremy Weber, an economist at the University of Pittsburgh, says there are so many variables affecting costs that companies see the future differently.
Because of the amount of uncertainty surrounding that information, what it means for oil markets, they might do very different things.
Like doubling down on drilling or turning more towards renewables. Samantha Gross is an energy policy analyst with the Brookings Institution.
A lot of them are really thinking about what their future should be. Are they oil companies or should they transform to becoming energy companies?
Mukul Sharma is an engineering professor at the University of Texas at Austin. He says change will come slowly. Commitments have been made.
The fact that Exxon has doubled its capital expenditure plan reflects the fact that they have growing confidence that the price of oil as it stands today is sustainable over the long haul.
And domestic production recently surpassed 10 million barrels a day, a record. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The opioid crisis has a lot of Americans thinking about what they can do. Insurers, though, are in a unique position to guide people's behavior and their exposure to opioids in the first place. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has this report.
Dr. Candy Stockton can tell you what life is like when opioids strangle your community. Stockton was medical director of Shingletown Medical Center in California's rural Shasta County for a decade.
There were patients who were so sedated by their medications that they would literally stumble against the wall, have difficulty walking down the hall to get to the exam room.
Enough medication, says Stockton, to knock an elephant unconscious.
And still were having such high levels of pain that they would tell me they couldn't function, that their pain levels were 12 out of 10 or 30 out of 10 all day long, every day.
Physicians prescribe pills for people in real pain, but too often, she says, the treatment failed and patients got addicted. Partnership Health Plan of California, the region's dominant insurer, increased coverage of alternative pain treatments like acupuncture, physical therapy, and chiropractic services. Chief Medical Officer Robert Moore says the company also placed new restrictions on opioids, including fewer pills per prescription. Doctors seeking exceptions must talk with health plan officials.
In the end, the epidemic started with prescription opioids, and we can use that power of paying for those prescriptions to control who gets them.
Moore says they've cut the number of patients taking opioids by 65% since 2014. Several of the nation's largest insurers report new prescribing guidelines from the CDC, and their own tougher opioid policies have reduced the number of new prescriptions doctors hand out. Cignum, a 25% drop. Anthem, nearly a third. Dr. Sherry DeBester says Anthem also helps physicians find counseling services and data to identify patients at risk for abuse.
So that the provider doesn't feel like we're just throwing a bunch of edicts their way and, you know, kind of wiping our hands of what I think is a very complicated health challenge that we all have to be in together.
Georgetown's Danya Palanker has studied insurers' response to the epidemic. She says companies made the original problem worse by making more expensive care like physical therapy hard to get.
Insurers have just made it easier for doctors to prescribe than they have made it for doctors to encourage patients to find non-prescription services.
Palanker praises insurers for starting to crack down on opioid prescriptions, saying maybe over time fewer people will get prescribed pain pills. But for all the Americans still suffering from pain, she says, we don't have great evidence what impact these policy changes are having. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Some people cheat at Monopoly. We all know one of these people, a friend, a family member. Well, there's a new version of the game coming out just for them. In this version, players are rewarded for cheating, stealing from the bank, skipping spaces, skimping on rent, as long, of course, as they don't get caught. I can't tell if this will end more or fewer friendships than the original. Game comes out this fall. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.